Hey, I'm Crystalyn Lloyd.
Hey, I'm Jordan Donica.
Hi, I'm Jesse Hooker Bailey.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Denise Hobbs, and you're listening to the Call and Response Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Call and Response Podcast with Felicia Fitzpatrick. Okay, y'all. So Lizzo's new album dropped the other day, and while I'm usually really bad at keeping up with pop albums, I love this one. I read a tweet the other day that was like, Lizzo's new album makes me want to go roller skating. And I was like, yeah, that so accurately captures the vibe. And what do you know, my suggested event from Gold Star this week was Lakeside's roller skating in Brooklyn's Prospect Park. And that's just the beginning with Gold Star. They provide theater, comedy shows, concerts, and so much more. So download Gold Star and let's make some memories, y'all. Yet again, I am so hype. I am so thrilled to introduce this week's guest. You may have seen her in Atlanta. Hello. Hi. Yes. You may have seen her in Ozark, Haunting of Hill House, or in Waitress. Did I get all those right?
That's correct.
Y'all, she's got so many credits. And you may have seen her at Dallas Theater Center or her vlog, An Actress Prepares. It is Tiffany Denise Hobbs, y'all. Give it up.
Hey,
I expect everyone to clap when they listen to it, but yes. We can't tell. Yeah.
No, thank you so much.
I'm so excited for you to be here today.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Because we met at the Nicolette opening after party, yeah. Which was that party was overwhelming.
It was huge. I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many people here and so many people that I've watched for so long.
Exactly.
From afar, you know, on social media or like looking at news articles and whatnot. And I was seeing them in the flesh. It was amazing.
I tried introducing myself to Patina Miller and I got too nervous. I was like, how do I explain what Fabulous Baby from Sister Act means to me? I just don't know how. So I was admiring from afar as well. But I'm glad that Jesse Hooker Bailey introduced us because you are such an exciting artist to me because you've done TV, you've done theater, and I love that you're creating your own work. So we're just going to dive in.
Let's do it.
Because my favorite way to start a podcast is knowing how you got involved with performing arts.
All right. So I actually started at the age of 3.
Wow.
My mother put me in ballet class. That's
Shout
when it started. Ballet,
Mom.
Tap, and jazz.
Okay.
At the Carol Colson Ballet Studio.
Ooh.
Yes. So, and it was right down the street from our house. And that's when I started performing. I loved it dearly. I took to it quickly.
Okay.
My parents definitely knew that they had to put me in something. And once they put me there, it was like we all knew as a family, this is it. And I just loved it. And eventually, around 11 years old, so about fifth grade, I auditioned and got into John S. Davidson Fine Arts School, a magnet school in our city. And I decided to take an elective, a drama elective, because I had 30 more minutes left in the school day to pick out something.
Yeah.
And I picked a drama elective because my family had always told me that I was a drama queen. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just try drama. It's totally fine.
Right.
And I loved it. Fish to water. I loved it.
Yes.
And eventually my time there, I was dancing as well, but I started to really focus on theater there. That's when I took my first musical theater class and really found out what opportunities were for me in the world of performing arts, like just beyond dancing. So I still used my dancing, but I was also acting and singing and all of these things. And that's where it all started for me.
I love that. That's amazing. And I love that you just knew viscerally right away that it was for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious too, because especially with dance, when I hear about Black women who are in dance, like I have my own personal struggles from when I was growing up, but we didn't have necessarily like Misty Copeland, who was like a big beacon. Like, who were your dance inspirations? Well, did you have any?
That's the thing. I didn't for a very long time. I was pretty much one or the only Black student of color in my dance classes. My teachers loved me for the most part. When I was at Carol Colson, I had a really good experience. I moved over to the Augusta Ballet and things changed because we got a little more professional. And so there was a little bit more of not a cutting process per se, but it was definitely about technique and all of these things and how you looked. And I definitely didn't have the facility that was admired. And it was hard. It was tough for me being, you know, one of a few or the only in my class. I will say that Misty Copeland, I did find out about her in about maybe late middle school or early high school.
Oh, okay.
I remember my mom subscribed me to Point magazine.
Yes.
And I believe it was Point. There was another dance magazine that she had me, maybe Dance Magazine Official. That was the another one. But
right.
I think it was Point magazine. And the first issue that I saw her on, I remember it was like a yellow background. Mm. And like she's in her hair is just like flying in the wind. And
yes.
She's like doing this. I remember it because I think I kept the magazine. But I saw her. And I remember I immediately read the article, probably pulled out the pages and plastered it on my wall.
Yes.
I Googled her and I started following her career. That's when
amazing.
I first found out about her. And I actually, you know, she definitely really inspired me in a time where I felt like I wasn't good enough for ballet because there weren't any images of Black women or women of color that I was being exposed
right.
to. And I felt like a sore thumb. It was really bad.
Yes.
I actually did run into Misty Copeland. Well, kind of not really ran in, but I was taking ballet class at Steps and I was walking by the classes she was taking and we literally locked eyes and she smiled at me and I was like, all right, my day's made.
Yes, yes, yes.
I almost didn't make it to my own ballet class.
I love
but I was
that
like,
though.
I saw Misty Copeland in the flesh and she smiled at me.
That's real. I would have been like, I have to take the rest of the day off, cancel.
Legit. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
I've been watching you for years and she really did change the game for me. One day I hope to actually tell her that.
Yes.
I will. One
Misty,
day.
I know you're probably not listening, but we love you.
Maybe she is.
Maybe she does. Misty, if you're listening, we love you. That's incredible. That's a good story.
Yeah,
I love that.
It was fun.
And it's like how, I guess, and that's good that you had like a positive inspiration from her because I'm always thinking like, how do teenagers and kids grapple with that? Because you maybe don't have the vocabulary for it, but you just know something's wrong.
You just feel it.
Did you feel like you just felt it?
I just felt it all the time. Yeah. And then there were some comments that were made by ballet mistresses and stuff like that
as
that I will
do.
Never forget.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you know, those things stick with you. And, you know, just the feelings that come along with that. And then just the way of thinking about yourself, a lot of self-deprecation.
Right.
And I mean, I even went through a period of where like I would, okay, well, then I'll just like work out all the time and not eat enough and maybe and I lost weight and I was like, okay, well, this is how you do it. And I, you know, I did those crazy things to be able to fit in or at least get as close to fitting in as I could.
Right.
And, you know, it was terrible. I've since moved on from that time of my life, like
yes.
in that mindset. But
yes.
it was dark times for a while until I came into my own and accepted my body and myself for
yes.
who I am, you know.
Did you feel any sense of freedom with theater or did you feel those same restrictions?
Yes. I think that's why I took to it so well because I felt like there were more opportunities for me, a person that looked like me. I saw more examples of that. And maybe because of TV and film, you know, all of those things. But I definitely felt at home, more at home than I did in my dance classes, specifically ballet, because that's what I was doing.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. What were some of the first like cast albums you got into for musical theater? What were some of the first plays you performed?
Oh my gosh, that's so funny you asked me. I haven't even thought about this, but the first thing that came to my mind was Kiss of the Spider Woman.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Shout out.
I loved Kiss of the Spider Woman. And I like sang everything from that soundtrack. I even did, we had exams every year and we had to like put together an audition packet.
Oh,
honey,
okay.
I was dancing and singing Kiss of the Spider Woman all the time.
Were.
I was like, this is my song. These are my songs. And this is what I'm going to do. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
That is amazing.
Of course, Chicago. I think Chicago was the first Broadway musical that I saw because they came to our city. So I fell in love with that.
Yes.
And
it's dance-based.
And it's dance-based.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting.
Yeah.
And from then on, I mean, I'm trying to remember what else there was. But those were definitely the first two I remember.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's so fun. So you find theater and you're feeling the sense of freedom. And then I guess my question is, when did you discover you wanted to do it for real full time, like as a profession?
Immediately.
You just knew.
I did, especially when I went to, by the time, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, it definitely was something that I really loved doing. But then when I got to high school and, you know, it was time to decide what colleges we were going to go to and all of these things. And I had examples of people doing it professionally. Even my teachers, you know, they had worked professionally. And I decided that, oh, well, people do this.
I
and
like that.
I know some people that have done this professionally.
Yeah.
I want to try it out. You
yes.
can go to school for this, for college. So I was just like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Of course, my parents were like, you want to do what?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We thought you was just having fun right. and, you know, grade school. But now we talking college and you're talking about going to act.
Yes.
And of course, they were at first just a little surprised, I would say. But they were definitely very supportive. They mm-hmm. did want me to have a backup plan. So I did double major.
Okay.
And that was fine. And I also, too, we decided to that I would go to an actual liberal arts college and not go to a conservatory so that I could get a wide range of education.
Right.
And I'm immensely grateful for that because, you know, I needed all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of those life experiences, all of that educational experience, it made me a better artist.
Exactly, exactly. So what were your double majors in?
It was in theater and the other one was public relations.
Oh, public relations. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this day and age, you have to know a little bit of PR to be an artist.
You do.
You know?
I use it all the time.
Yeah.
So I remember definitely going back to my notes and all that kind of stuff to figure out how to promote myself
right.
and like using press releases and all these things. Like I was using that. I still do that knowledge.
See, y'all, if you're listening, it's not a crazy idea to major. And I love that. And then what made you decide to go to grad school after that?
I decided to go to grad school because I felt like my training at the University of Georgia wasn't as intense as I wanted it to be in order to be prepared to go out into the professional world. I could have very well done that, but I knew that for me personally, there were certain things that I wanted to dive into a little bit deeper, learn my instrument a little bit more, and just get a little bit more foundation and strength when it came to my artistry and my instrument.
Yeah.
Because I knew that if I was going to go to New York or LA or wherever, I was going to be a fish in a really, really, really big pond.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure that I had all of the tools available to me. I knew what I had available to me in order to succeed.
Yeah. And you went to, what school in Dallas did you go to?
I went to the Southern Methodist University.
Oh, my gosh. Because, you know, my family's from DFW. Like, my dad lives in Plano.
Oh, really?
My mom's from Burleson.
Oh,
yeah.
Old stomping grounds. I stayed there for 5 years. It was awesome. I loved Dallas.
Yes. Shout out to Dallas. So then you're in Dallas. I feel like it's got a good arts scene. What was it like exploring that and kind of taking your first steps outside of Georgia?
It was exciting. I remember one of the first days right before we started school. I moved there maybe like a week or maybe 10 days before.
Mm-hmm.
And once my family left, because we drove a U-Haul up there.
Yes.
And, you know, we did all the things. My mom was with me. My dad ended up flying back, but my mom stayed. And we furnished the apartment and decorated. But once she was gone, I remember being in my brand new, my first apartment, just empty, just me sitting there. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I'm really doing it. Like, I really committed to my art. It was one of the first big commitments for me. And I just remember feeling like, we're going to do this.
Yes.
This is going to be the greatest 3 years of your life. And I just felt immensely grateful. And I felt like I was in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I was doing the right thing.
Right.
And I just remember telling myself, enjoy it while you can, suck it up, you know, and like just take it all in, you know? I was so excited.
And do you remember the moment you decided you were ready to come to New York?
When I booked Waitress.
Okay.
I booked Waitress. I said, well, guess I'm going.
That's fair. That's good. Do you remember what your audition for Waitress was like?
Yeah, I do. I had the audition. It was like I got the appointment maybe a few days before. And mind you, I was living in Atlanta at the time. And I booked the appointment and I had to get out there in about 3 days. I said to myself, okay. And I had actually, strangely enough, I had the audition materials prior, because there was another time where I was going to go audition for it. But you guys had a crazy winter storm and all of my flights were canceled. And I was like, I guess I can't go to the audition.
Gosh.
And I was so sad about it because I was so ready. I was like, yay, I'm going to go audition for this. And it came back around about a month and a half later.
Wow.
And so I had already been prepared. I remember because after that happened and I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to audition for Waitress. I told myself, don't throw the audition packet away.
Yeah.
You might need this soon.
Yeah.
And I put it away in a place that I could remember. And then, you know, about 6 weeks later, I was like, well, good thing I kept
these. Amazing.
So it was awesome.
Yes.
And I came up for an audition, did that. And I remember I had a really great work session and with Patrick at Telsey. Mm-hmm. And after that, I just remember feeling like I'm probably going to get a callback. And I found out I had a callback the next day. And I was actually going out on vacation with my family the next couple of weeks. And they wanted me to come back during that time. Oh. And my mom was like, well, girl, guess you got to go. You're going to have to figure this out. And
Mama
so I was like,
it.
Great. It was so wonderful. So I went to, we were in Disney World. Aww. And I had to leave. I was there. I left. I was gone for maybe like 36 hours. Mm-hmm. But we made it work. And I remember my callback was so much fun. I was like, you know what? I'm here. I'm just going to just let the art live through me. It's going to be great. It's going to be fine. I was like, I'm doing what I love. Mm-hmm. And I just had fun.
Good.
And I remember just feeling really, really great about it. I told myself afterwards, I was like, you booked the room. You booked the room. And that's all you can ask for. After that, it's just like a lot of that stuff is just out of our control. Yeah. So you have to kind of release it, leave it in the room.
I like book the room, though. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Like, you know that you felt you're about... You know you did your best in the room at the moment.
Absolutely.
And that's great. And then, just, like, letting it be.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, the auditioning is just, like, that gets me. So, so with your TV / film, TV, I guess, but Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
With your TV experience, what are the auditions like for that compared to theater auditions?
They're different. Usually you're in a much smaller room. They're usually quick and dirty. There's a lot less show me who you are and a little bit more like show me that your performance ready so we can just put you right in, you know.
Really?
And it's, you know, sometimes it can be a little disheartening for artists, mm-hmm. especially when they're transitioning from theater. They're just like, oh, there's like a lack of artistry and whatnot. And I choose not to look at it that way. I'm like, I can still be the artist that I am. I can still bring everything that I can to the table. Yeah. I just have to know in my head that the process is a little quicker.
I see.
So I have to be a little bit more, I have to have intention. And I always do in all of my auditions, but just know that you want to try to get it right in the first time, mm-hmm. because oftentimes they're not going to give you notes or give you adjustments because they're on a time clock.
Right.
And it's a tighter time clock oftentimes. But I find it very, very similar. Once you just realize like the few things that are a little bit different, then you're golden.
Yeah.
You just keep doing the work.
And what was it? How, we have to talk about Atlanta because, like, I mean, your home state, all of that. Like, what? I don't even know what questions I have. What was it like?
Tell me all about it, girl. It was the first television show that I booked.
Okay.
I had just signed with an agency after leaving The Lion King. And, you know, I was doing a bunch of auditions. You know, I kind of told myself it may take a while before, you know, you take. That people got to get to know you. So I was doing a lot of self-tapes. I was auditioning a lot. I can't remember how many auditions I had done prior to that. But maybe, like, you know, 15, 20, maybe. Mm. And I remember when I booked it, I was going to get French fries because I love French fries. If you know me, I love French fries. And I got the email from my agent and I remember looking at it. I was like, yeah, she didn't mean to send that to me. Because I remember specifically that audition for Atlanta. I remember thinking, they're not going to pick me for this role. Why are they having me audition for it?
Really?
Because I just thought that I just didn't think that I fit the bill. And maybe that was just my own, you know, small mind.
Right.
So anyways, I got the email and I was ecstatic. Yes. Also very nervous because I knew that, great, it's just going to be me and Donald Glover in a scene.
Right.
And I had a lot of lines, you know, a lot of lines for me starting off. And I was like, I have to be able to talk without losing it. And I was like, and if there's a camera on me.
Right.
And there's a lot of stuff. It's going to be my first time on set. Like, so many new things. And I was like, I have to keep it together. So I remember just heart palpitations the entire day. But I just kept telling myself, you're here for a reason. You're meant to be here. Yes. You're worthy of all of this. You're going to be fine.
That's good. Right.
And everyone, Hero, our director, Donald, everyone on set, the whole crew, they were so wonderful to me. And I just had a blast. It was the best first experience,
good.
I think, because everyone made me feel really, really comfortable. And then the art just flowed.
It just did.
Yeah.
So what do you think you took from that experience on to like Ozark and the Haunting of Hill House? Like what did you learn during that first experience?
That it's not as scary as it may seem to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always thought of it as this big thing. You know, that's what all the big dogs do. And, you know, when you're just starting off, like, you're just going to fall flat on your face. You know, I kind of doubted my ability to keep up with everyone. Also, too, I just learned a lot of things. There's lingo on set that I was learning, just listening and trying to figure out, like, how to, you know, listen for cues and all that stuff. And so, and I watched a lot. Yeah, but I also just realized, you know, how fun it is. Yeah. It's just as fun as theater. It's a different animal, but it's also the same. And when you're as fortunate to have a great production crew like I did on Atlanta, even on Ozark and The Haunting of Hill House, and all of the other shows that I've done, you know, everyone's so supportive. They just want to do the work. They just want to be able to do what they love to do. And it's wonderful.
And so I'm also curious with Atlanta, because it highlights, like, a, you know, a specific Black experience, what that process was like versus, you know, something that might be colorblind casting, like Waitress, which is still valid, but it's, you know, different races can play different roles. Do you know what I mean?
It's exciting. You know, probably my first one of, well, not my first experience. My first experience with something like that was when I did For Color Girls in high school. Now, that was probably, I'm actually getting chills just thinking about that. That's so strange. But it was one of my first experiences where the piece was specifically about Black women's experiences. And still getting chills. And I just remember feeling, you know, the way that it was written. It had, even though it wasn't, it's not a musical, it's a choreo poem, but it's very musical. And it had a rhythm, a heartbeat that really, really resonated for me. I mean, I remember as a high schooler, I recognized that it was just some closeness that I felt with it that I hadn't felt with anything else that I worked on. And I felt the same way when I did The Lion King. You know, I was on The Lion King, and it's just almost like going to your ancestral home. That's what it felt like. And even though, unfortunately, I'm actually currently trying to work on this, trying to find out where my ancestors are from, because we don't have any record of that. And that's a whole nother conversation. But, you know, I'm still trying to figure that out. But when I saw The Lion King for the first time, which was years before I actually got the show, I remember just at the edge of my seat, I just felt like I felt like I was home. And when I got the show, I felt like I was home. And it was a wonder, an amazing thing to go to work every day with people who had similar experiences as I did and do. And we were able to talk about those things. I mean, for instance, I was in the show during the last presidential election. So a lot of things we were able to discuss and just really lay our hearts out. And it was just a very safe space. And we also had actors, white actors in our show too, like our Zazu and our Scar. So we also had people that could, that we could talk to that were not, you know, from the Black experience. And it was still a very safe space, but it was just wonderful to feel like I was at home and very safe, and it was wonderful. Same thing with Atlanta. Like, it's just like that show is about Atlanta. And I will say that I haven't been in Atlanta for many, many years. So a lot of the things that I'm learning about Atlanta are new. And but it was wonderful to be on set for Atlanta and just, you know, having kind of an insider's view to what that experience was like as I was still experiencing it myself. It's just, you know, it's just, it's like you're just having Thanksgiving dinner at your house. That's what it feels like every day.
I love, and I love that because, and Donald Glover is so exciting to me because he's putting, like, his heart, his experience, like, out there. And I feel like he's putting out a specific experience, and yet there's, like, universal elements to it. Which I wanted to talk about your vlog too, in that way too, because an actress prepares. I feel like everyone can have different specific experiences, and yet there's universal elements too.
Absolutely.
But tell me about how you created it, the inspiration, all of that good stuff.
Okay, awesome. So I was just coming off tour, and I remember I get really antsy if I'm not doing anything.
Sure.
I remember telling myself as I was coming off tour, what do you need to do to keep yourself busy, keep your artist self busy, you know, so that you don't fall into, like, a dark place where you just feel like you're not, you're not doing what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And so there were several things. That's why I looked for an agent, got an agent, and I started auditioning. And I also realized that I wanted to start to self-produce.
Okay.
I do a little bit of writing, and, you know, I'm trying to write some things that I can produce, like, you know, a short film, all that kind of stuff. But that takes a lot of time and a lot of patience.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself at one point, I remember thinking, growing up, there, I didn't have like a user's manual to being in the biz. And there really doesn't, there's really not one. People talk about their experiences, but, you know, there's not a user's manual. Not to say that An Actress Prepares is the user's manual, but I just remember thinking, I should, because I had a lot of inquiries from people asking me, how did you do it? How did you get the audition for Lion King? You know, what is it like to go to Actors Equity Association? Like, what if you're EMC? What if you're non-equity? So many questions I was getting over the years. And I would answer them personally. But then I thought, I should put that answer out so that people anywhere can just like click on this and get that answer, or at least my experience with that. And that was my inspiration. I just wanted to be that person for a lot of people because I didn't always have those people. I had to kind of seek them out, search for them, or just like read articles online that Viola Davis talked about her experience, you know, those sorts of things. But I didn't have anyone that was a little more personal, or at least let's just say like on my level, just starting out. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's in the beginning stages of her career and this is what she's experiencing.
Right.
I just wanted to be that for people.
No, I love that. What advice would you give our listeners if they're aspiring performers?
I would say stay the course. And one of the things that I'm still working on as an adult, don't compare your journey to other people's journey.
I love
It's really, really hard, especially in this age of social media. We will look at people's accomplishments and then immediately feel horrible about our own. And, you know, when just 5 minutes ago, we're like, I did that. And then you see someone else and you're like, well, maybe I didn't. And that's not okay. You just have to, you have to have faith in your own personal journey. There's no right or wrong way. There are good ways and not so good ways, better ways to do things. But, you know, we all have our own stories. So be confident in yours and have faith and always stay diligent, you know, and be kind. Be kind to others.
A friend of mine has a really good way. I love the way he phrases it. He says, you can't compare your cutting room floor to someone's highlight reel. I'm like, isn't that great?
That's real. that's so real.
So it's I love that. And yes, stay true to yourself, y'all listening. I believe that wholeheartedly. I wanted to hear more about your experience with Waitress, with Nicolette and the whole crew. When did you begin your time there?
I think like in mid-April is when I started rehearsals. And then I started performances in May.
And you're a swing.
I'm a swing.
So salute to you, because anytime I meet a swing, I'm like, you're doing an incredible, impressive, I think impossible job. But y'all do it all the time.
Somehow we managed to do it.
So, yeah, what was the first time you went on? What was that like? Like, did you, I always ask, did you have like your binder and the wings? Like, I'm just, my anxiety, I would be like, I can't, like, it's too much.
Man, I didn't have my binder and the wings, but I definitely got to the theater really early because I was so nervous. I was like, I got to go over my notes and just make sure I know where I need to be, because, you know, I also had other tracks in my head. So just making sure I didn't confuse them. But I remember it being very exciting. I remember how I felt when the sugar butter loops started. And I was very, very nervous. But once those started, I just remember feeling like a sense of calm and peace. And I was like, you here, you made it, just have fun.
It's okay.
Everybody's got your back. You know, I felt super supported by the cast. And I had a blast. It was awesome. It was wonderful.
I love that. And you'll have some serious like black girl magic going on over there.
We do.
So you've done Broadway. You've got your vlog. Is there any other content creation you want to do? Tell me about it, girl.
Well, you know, I'm actually, I just joined SAG-AFTRA, which
is
awesome. And there's the SAG-AFTRA Foundation has so many resources. And I've actually started taking a screenwriting class there and just kind of getting more knowledgeable about what other opportunities they have available to us. And I'm trying to just get a little more specific about my goals for screenwriting.
Okay.
Because I want to write my own things and I want to produce them because I have the resources available to me. Why not?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that I'm working on. It's a, you know, one of those slow and steady wins the race type of things.
Right.
But I'm still in it. And I'm also starting to work on getting my own podcast.
Yes.
And I have so many killer friends in the business. And I thought about doing it by bringing them on to An Actress Prepares, but I think I'm going to keep that just me and mm-hmm. my stories,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to have a podcast that's kind of like a spinoff of that, where I invite all of my friends.
I love that.
And I just talk to everyone that I know in the business who's willing to come on to the show about their experiences, and we'll have like specific questions. I might open it up to the audiences and have them, you know, give me questions before the interview so that we can just talk about some specific things that people are wondering.
Yes, and I love that. Yeah. I'm so excited. But I think it's just like, it is one of those things of like all of your friends. There's so many actors, so many artists that need to have their story told.
Absolutely.
And you're giving them a platform to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm so
just
excited.
Like you're giving me a platform to do it.
Hey, I'm
so thank you.
Yes. Okay. So you also just got back from Yale doing 12th Night up there.
Mm-hmm.
How was it?
It was fantastic.
Was it? Yes.
By far, truly one of the most, if not the most fantastic theater experiences I've ever had as an actor.
Dang, that's amazing.
Yes.
What about it was so great?
It was just from top to bottom, everything was so well done and the leadership was so great.
Okay.
And I think the one thing that really keyed me into, oh, this is going to be a great experience, is on the first day, the dean of the School of Drama and our director, they made sure to establish a very safe room, a safe open room where we were going to explore and have fun, learn, grow. And the ideas that they had already brought to the table, I mean, everyone who had been working on the show had been working on it for a year. You know, we were the last element to be added
to it.
And so the ideas had bloomed into this beautiful thing already by that point. And they were like, and now we have actors.
Yeah.
And it's a safe place. Let's play. We're going to learn. We're going to grow. And we're going to create this beautiful work of art for people to see.
Absolutely.
And having, it was a cast of all Black people. And, you know, we were like, we know we're changing the game, but we also, we're going to do it well, we're going to do it justice, and we're going to really change the landscape of Shakespeare, you know, Shakespeare in this country as it is experienced by audience members.
Right.
You know, they expect to see, or they're used to seeing certain people do Shakespeare, speak the language.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to change the game a little bit.
Oh, yes.
And we did. And it was just, it was such a beautiful theater experience. The show was wonderful.
Right.
It was amazing. And I felt like I grew so much as an actor in those 9 weeks that I was there.
See, and I feel like leadership is so important in those kind of spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you are presenting something that's innovative, you know, like in that sense, and disrupting what people expect in terms of Shakespeare, like that's, it can be scary.
Yes, yes.
Did you have any stories from audience members coming up being like, I love this, or being like, I hate this?
Yes. It was a resounding, people were amazed.
They
loved it.
Phew.
And not even just like, oh, we didn't expect you could do it.
Right.
But it was
right.
more of people coming to the theater who said to me, and this was on multiple occasions, an older woman said this to me, and then like a younger student, I think, not a student at Yale, but a student in general, they came up to me and they said, I've seen 12th Night so many times, and I've hated it every time, except tonight.
Right.
They said that they understood it so much more than they ever had understood it. And then they said, and also I was laughing and like it pulled at my heartstrings in a way that I wasn't even expecting, which I think means, you know, just goes to show how beautifully done the production was, because it's not just a, oh, slapstick comedy. That's not what Shakespeare wrote. It's full of heart. It's full of love. It's full of family. It's full of loss. It's full of, you know, pining for love. It's full of the human experience. And we're not just one thing. And so many people just came out of the theater saying, I love Shakespeare now. What we actually had a student write to us from one of the schools that came. Our stage manager or our company manager sent it to us after we had all dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
And the student said at the end, said, thank you so much. I no longer hate Shakespeare anymore. thank you for making me hate Shakespeare a little bit less.
And candid.
I was like, we win.
Candid. Yes, we win.
We succeeded.
Wow.
Yeah, so many people felt the exact same way. And you could tell by the conversations that were happening, because sometimes I would, like, you know, go out into the lobby or, like, hang out outside. Like, hey, just be like, hey.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
just to hear what people were saying and also just to meet the people as well. Because, you know, they're the other characters in the show.
Truly.
And everyone was just so taken aback, so pleased that they had come, even though they're like, oh, not another Shakespeare. But they came and their worlds were changed.
Yes, because you guys provided this fresh, exciting energy in it, I imagine. And just really good acting.
Oh, yeah.
So, and next on the Shakespeare train.
I know, Shakespeare.
Right? You're in it. Much Ado About Nothing at the public theater, Shakespeare in the Park. Hi, hello. Like, are you thrilled?
I am.
I'm excited. I want to be there front row.
Yes.
So where are you in the process for that show?
We just started rehearsal. So we actually just started getting on our feet.
Oh, my gosh.
Now we're just, like, putting everything together.
Yes.
You know? And it's exciting to be doing another Shakespeare piece and to be doing it with the people that I'm doing it and at the public.
Right.
It's just so many things that I've had on my wish list.
Yes.
And I'm getting to do it all. So it's exciting. Every day I walk to work, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm in the public.
Real,
I'm doing Shakespeare in the Park. You know, like,
it's like a rite of passage as an actor, I feel
absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And it's such a, I mean, I love, what I love about that is, like, I feel like they give Shakespeare back to the people in the sense of we were just talking about with your production at Yale. Like, it's very community oriented, I feel like,
absolutely.
In that space.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, so you're just starting rehearsals. Like, what was the first day like? Do you guys have a table read?
Yes, we had a table read.
And it was just, was everyone
just
like, first day of school?
Yes. First day of school, that's what it is for me. I pack my lunch.
Right.
I pack my book bag.
Yes.
I'm, like, trying to decide what I'm going to wear.
Yes.
Like, all the things. I get so excited every time I start a new process. And I get so giddy about it every time. And, you know, and everyone's just excited. All this energy. You're trying to figure out who's who and, like, what people are like, and you know, just you're learning everyone all over again. It's like a new family.
I love that.
Yeah, it was really, really exciting. The energy in the room was wonderful.
Yes. And if you want to see Tiffany and this amazing cast at Shakespeare in the Park, go to www.publictheater.org. That is theater with an ER. And if people want to follow you and your journey specifically, where can they follow you on social media?
Yes. So IG is the thing that the kids are doing these days.
Yes.
So you can follow me on IG at Tiffany Denise Hobbs. And I also have a website, www.tiffanydenisehobbs.com.
Love it.
I'm on Twitter.
Yes.
At Tiffany D. Hobbs.
Hey.
Yeah. So there. You can find me.
And then the last two questions I love to end the podcast on are, one, if you could recommend a piece of black art to our listeners, what would it be?
Ooh. A piece of black art.
People have said Atlanta before, so it's amazing that you're here. Do you know what I mean?
Right. That's like, so like a current piece of black art, or can it be like a throwback?
Give me a throwback. Let's do it.
Okay. The first thing that comes to my mind when you ask me that is No Disrespect by Sister Souljah.
Done and done.
Please.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I think I'm going to pull that book back out and read it.
Yes.
I read it in college and I was floored.
There you go.
It's amazing.
I love that. And then if you could give a shout out to a fellow black artist, who would it be?
Tiffany Mann.
Yes.
My best friend.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Did y'all meet in Dallas?
We did.
Oh my gosh. I worked on Ragtime with her in Austin. And so she used to be on the podcast. Tiffany, if you listen, you got to be on the podcast.
She coming.
And now she's doing Be More Chill. That's a good shout out.
Yes.
Oh, shout out. If you're listening, Tiffany, we love you.
We love you so much.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook at Call and Response NYC, and on Twitter at Call Response NYC. And why don't you leave us a review? Rate us on iTunes. You can tell your mom, tell your brothers, tell your sisters, tell your cousins, tell your local baristas. I don't care. Just spread that good word. Until next time, y'all.